From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The stock market in Iran rose today after voters surprised the conservative establishment by sweeping a moderate cleric into the presidency in the first round. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Istanbul that President-elect Hassan Rouhani is calling it a victory for wisdom and moderation over extremism.
The unexpected scenes of overjoyed Iranians taking to the streets to celebrate Rouhani's victory suggested two things to Iran watchers. First, that the Iranian public, even after years of seeing pro-reform movements crushed, continues to vote for change, even when the ballot is dominated by conservatives. And second, Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei had no wish to revisit the mass street protests and harsh police crackdown of 2009. He never revealed his own choice for president, and the government quickly announced Rouhani's victory, eliminating any fears that the vote count might be subject to political pressures. Whether Rouhani can moderate Iran's policies remains to be seen, but for now the celebrations continue. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning the international community against easing sanctions against Iran following Rouhani's victory. Rather, he says sanctions should be increased to pressure Iran to end its disputed nuclear program. But a series of bombings across Iraq today, at least 30 people are dead. Shiite Muslims appear to have been targeted, but as the BBC's Rami Rahayam reports from Baghdad, Sunnis were also caught up in the attacks.
In the southern city of Basra, two car bombs went off almost at the same time in the town center. The southern province of Wasit was also hit by two car bombs, one in the center of the city of Kut and the other north of the city. There were also attacks in Mahmoudiya and Babylon south of Baghdad and in Najaf also in the south. In the north, attacks targeted security forces in Mosul and Salah ad-Din. Baghdad itself seems to have escaped today's violence, but the relatively secure cities of the south were the hardest hit.
Moving on to Egypt, where President Mohamed Morsi has severed ties with the Syrian government, a sign of hardening regional stances on the Syrian civil war. NPR's Leila Fadel reports.
Morsi's speech followed those of a series of clerics who called for holy war in Syria on the side of the rebels against Bashar al-Assad's regime. He called for the Lebanese Shia militant group Hezbollah to immediately withdraw from Syria, where they are fighting in support of the Alawi leader, Assad. And in an about-face of a non-military intervention policy, he called on the international community to implement a no-fly zone and to stop the bloodshed in Syria. Egypt is a largely Sunni nation, and the fiery comments from the president and the clerics that preceded him point to an escalation of what many view as a sectarian conflict that pits Shia Iran and Hezbollah on the side of Assad and Sunni nations on the side of the rebels. Leila Faldin, NPR News, Cairo.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. South Africa is marking the 37th anniversary of the Soweto schools uprising in the shadow of former President Nelson Mandela's health problems. Mandela's grandson says Mandela is improving after spending more than a week in the hospital. He's being treated for a lung infection. NPR's Fabia Quist-Arkton reports there's been a somber mood ahead of this year's Youth Day.
In 1976, schoolchildren in Johannesburg's Soweto township took to the streets in protest at the inferior Bantu education system imposed on all but white South Africans. The racist apartheid government had also decreed that Afrikaans, the oppressor's language, be the medium of instruction in schools. As the pupils marched in anger, the security forces opened fire, killing dozens. An iconic photograph shows the desperate face of an older boy carrying Hector Peterson, one of the first children to be shot dead, with his sister wailing and running alongside. The Hector Peterson Memorial is part of the commemorative June 16th march along the same route taken by the Soweto schoolchildren. Ofebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Johannesburg.
Hockey Stanley Cup Finals heading into tomorrow's Game 3, tied at a game apiece. The Boston Bruins leveled the series with an overtime win against the Chicago Blackhawks last night. Bruins goaltender Tuukka Rask says his team bounced back from a bad first period.
We were in survival mode there for a bit. It looked like there are more guys out there than we did. You know, they were bouncing on every single puck in front of the net. Had a lot of chances, and you know, we definitely played pretty bad.
In basketball, the San Antonio Spurs and Miami Heat tied at two games apiece, heading into tonight's Game 5 in the NBA Finals. This is